Namo dasa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhasa. Namo dasa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhasa. Namo dasa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhasa. This is Dhamma Talk. This is the last one of our retreat here. Tomorrow we would have just a short talk. I will deal with how a meditator can deliver himself from all kinds of suffering by means of a mindfulness meditation or vipassana meditation. In the teaching of the Buddha, there are four types of a Dhamma. One is a praniya, the other is pahatapa, then another one is sachikatapa, the last one is bhavitapa. The technique of a mindfulness meditation is based on these four types of a Dhamma and the teaching of the Buddha. So the technique, the benefit of this Dhamma, this meditation, mindfulness meditation, Vipassana meditation, is accords with these four types of Dhamma. The first one, praniya, means the Dhamma that must be thoroughly realized. That's a praniya, the Dhamma that must be thoroughly realized. It's called a praniya, or the Dhamma that is to be thoroughly realized is a praniya. Then the second one, the Dhamma that is to be completely eliminated or completely abandoned is known as Bahadava. Bahadava means the Dhamma that's to be completely eliminated or removed. The Dhamma which is said to be experienced is known as sachikatapa. This Dhamma sachikatapa must be experienced by meditator. Then the last one is the Dhamma that is to be fully developed, fully cultivated. This Dhamma must be fully cultivated and developed. So the word prajna, the Dhamma to be thoroughly realized or rightly understood, refers to both psychophysical phenomena, both bodily and mental phenomena. Nama and Rupa in Pali. Nama, mental phenomena, and Rupa, physical phenomena. This dual process of phenomena, Nama and Rupa, are to be thoroughly realized. Prajna. Without realization of these two types of Dhamma, Nama and Rupa, one cannot attain the cessation of suffering. One cannot get free from suffering. The second one, the word Pahadava, the Dhamma that is to be completely abundant, refers to attachment. Tanha and Pali. This is Tanha, attachment, is it to be completely eliminated, because it's the cause of all kinds of suffering. So when one is able to eliminate this attachment, Tanha, he is sure to put an end to all kinds of suffering and live in peace and happiness. The third one, the word Sacchikadava, the Dhamma that is to be realized, to be experienced, refers to the cessation of suffering, deliverance, Nibbana. Nibbana is to be experienced by one who practices mindfulness and meditation. The fourth one, Bhavetava, the Dhamma that is to be fully cultivated or developed, refers to the Noble Eightfold Path, which leads meditator to the cessation of suffering, emancipation, deliverance, Nibbana. So the four types of Dhamma, based on these four types of Dhamma, the Buddha's technique of mindfulness and meditation, Vipassana meditation, is based. Then, the first one, Prajna, the Dhamma that is to be thoroughly realized is mental and physical phenomena. Why do we need to thoroughly realize this mental and physical phenomena? nama and rupa. Because we want to get rid of the suffering. When the Buddha said the truth of the suffering, it refers to both nama and rupa. Psychophysical phenomena is a suffering, the truth of a suffering, dukkha. So this is the truth of a suffering, dukkha, nama and rupa. Psychophysical phenomena is to be thoroughly realized. Because if one does not thoroughly realize suffering, dukkha, he does not really have any wish or willingness to get rid of a suffering. He doesn't really want to get rid of a suffering because he doesn't know the suffering, dukkha, thoroughly. Only when he is able to thoroughly realize the dukkha, suffering, he would want to, like to be free from all kinds of suffering. That's why he needs to thoroughly realize suffering or nama and rupa, mental and physical phenomena. And the first saman expounded by the Buddha in the sanctuary near Vanarasa said, Sankhaitena Panchupada Nakhanda Dukkha. First of all, the Buddha said, as you know, Jati bi dukkha, jara bi dukkha, maranam bi dukkha, jara bi dukkha, maranam bi dukkha, abhiye sampiyoga dukkha, piye vipiyoga dukkha, and so on. Birth is dukkha, old age is dukkha, illness is a dukkha, death is a dukkha, sorrow, worry, lamentation, despair are dukkha. Then the Buddha said, the separation from beloved ones is a dukkha suffering. Associate with unbeloved is a suffering, dukkha. Not getting one wants what one wants is wants to get its suffering, dukkha. Then the Buddha summarized, in short, all the grasping, all the five aggregates of the graspings are dukkha suffering. Here, all the aggregates of a grasping refers to the four categories of groups. The five categories of the group. That's a khanda in Pali. The aggregate of rupa, physical phenomena. The aggregate of sensation, of feeling. The aggregate of perception. The aggregates of mental formations. and the aggregate of a consciousness. These five aggregates are grasped by the attachment and the round view. So they are called the five aggregates of a grasping. Aggregate of rupa, physical phenomena, refers to bodily process. The other four aggregates refers to all mental states, the consciousness and its mental concomitants. So it means that both nama and rupa, physical phenomena and mental phenomena, are dukkha suffering. And the sense of unsatisfactoriness, they are all dukkha suffering. So one who wants to get rid of a suffering must thoroughly realize this suffering, dukkha, mental and physical phenomena, as unsatisfactoriness. So that's why the Buddha gives us this technique of mindfulness meditation to train ourselves to have the insight into all kinds of this dukkha suffering, that is a mental physical phenomena. Here the dukkha suffering is of three types. The first one is a dukkha, suffering of a suffering, which is very common to all living beings. Every living being suffers and feels and knows this dukkha, such as a pain, stiffening, any kind of a mental, physical discomfort, and any kind of a mental discomfort and dissatisfaction, or they are known to all living beings, so they are called as suffering of the suffering. When we are not content with what we have or what we are possessed of, then we suffer. The suffering is felt by all living beings and known to all living beings, perceived by all living beings. So that is a dukkha, suffering of suffering, which is in common to all the living beings. In the same way, when you feel physical discomfort such as pain, stiffening, itching, numbness, or any accident or any disease such as cancer or any other illness, these are physical discomfort, physical suffering, kāyika dukkha in Pali. These are also very common to all living beings. They are known to all living beings. These are called dukkha, suffering of suffering. Especially for meditators, this is dukkha, suffering of suffering is too much distant to your mind, to meditator's mind. to be experienced. Meditate that doesn't like this dukkha, dukkha, suffering, over suffering. But even though the way of mindfulness meditation is seeking the after the dukkha suffering, but when meditator experiences it, he doesn't like it. This is a dukkha suffering, pain in the back, pain in the knees, sometimes a headache, sometimes a tense on the neck and the back and so on. Sometimes meditator have numbness, sometimes itchiness and so on. The more his mind is concentrated on each individual object of meditation, the more dukkha he experiences. Why? Because the way of mindfulness is to penetrate into all kinds of dukkha suffering. So when he experiences this dukkha suffering, he should be very happy with it, because what we seek after is experienced by himself. But meditator doesn't like it to experience. You want to get rid of it. So when he notes that this dukkha dukkha, pain, stiffening, itch, numbness, and so on, he wants to make it disappear. He wants to make it stops or goes away. That is the contrary to what the mindfulness and meditation aims at. Mindfulness and meditation aims to experience this suffering fully and thoroughly, so the meditator is much willing to get rid of this suffering, because he thoroughly realized, rightly understood it. So this is a dukkha dukkha. The second type of a dukkha is sukha. We ordinarily regard as a sukha, that is happiness. The happiness is a dukkha or suffering in the sense of a transitory and impermanent. Though we feel happy about something, but that happiness does not last very long. In a short time, the happiness changes into unhappiness. When the happiness disappears, we feel unhappiness. That unhappiness is a dissatisfaction or dukkha suffering. That dukkha suffering comes from happiness, because happiness doesn't last long and it changes into unhappiness. So it's called viparinama dukkha, suffering produced by change. Viparinama dukkha, suffering produced by change. If the happiness everlasting is everlasting, The Buddha doesn't say it's a dukkha. The Buddha would have said this is dukkha, sukha, happiness. But actually, happiness doesn't last a long time. It lasts for a moment, some moment, and then it has disappeared. When it has disappeared, we are longing for it. When we doesn't get it again, we are suffering. We are unhappy about it. Then the unhappiness arises. That's a dukkha. This is satisfaction. It means that happiness changes into unhappiness. Sukha changes into dukkha. So it's called viparinama dukkha. Suffering or dissatisfaction by change. Then the third type of dukkha. The third types of dukkha is a sankhara dukkha in Pali. Sankhara dukkha here refers to arising and passing away of a phenomena. None of a phenomena, either mental or physical, is a permanent, everlasting. They arise and very instantly passes away. Then another phenomenon rises and then it very instantly passes away. In this way, rising and passing away for any mental phenomenon or physical phenomenon is unsatisfactory. This is satisfaction. Suffering. So this type of dukkha is called the sankhara dukkha. Out of these three types of dukkha, suffering or this is satisfaction, what we should thoroughly realize is sankhara dukkha. The appearance and disappearance, constant rising and passing away of phenomena. This sankhara dukkha, the constant appearance and disappearance of a phenomena, cannot be realized by learning scriptures, by listening Dhamma, by thinking, or by any type of logical reasoning, intellectual thinking. It can be this sankhara dukkha, constant appearance and disappearance of a phenomena, can be realized through personal experience of mental and physical phenomena by means of mindfulness meditation, vipassana meditation. So, learning the knowledge one obtains from learning, the knowledge one obtains from thinking or reasoning, is not able a meditator to thoroughly realize this constant arising and passing away, constant appearance and disappearance of phenomena, sankhara dukkha. Only when he is mindful of all mental states and physical process arising and experience it, it's then that he can realize this arising and passing away or constant appearance and disappearance of a phenomena, sankhara dukkha. That's why we have to be mindful of, we have to be aware of whatever arises in body and mind as it really occurs. So then, with constant, continuous mindfulness and deep concentration, we come to realize the constant appearance and disappearance of a mental and physical phenomena, sankhara dukkha. Then we realize it thoroughly. Then we don't want to have this constant appearance and disappearance of a phenomena. We would like to make them everlasting, permanent, but they doesn't last long, and they are impermanent. So, because they are impermanent, we are not satisfactory with them. So, they are here, we find that this is satisfaction of constant arising and person aware of a phenomena. Through our own personal experience of a bodhisattva process, then we want to get rid of all kinds of these three types of suffering. Then we find some ways and means to get rid of this suffering. Then the Buddha said, what does causes this suffering to arise? The Buddha said, the cause of all kinds of this suffering is tanha or lobha, that is attachment. The attachment covers all the senses of greed, craving, lust, desire, love, grasping, and the like. So, this attachment is the cause of all kinds of suffering. Even the attachment is the cause of rebirth, because we are attached to existence. So that attachment causes us to do wholesome thing or unwholesome thing, wholesome action or unwholesome action. That makes us to be reborn and makes existence. So rebirth also the effect of the attachment. So the effect of this attachment is called this attachment, which causes rebirth, another existence called bhavatana, attachment to existence or desire for life. So this attachment is because of all kinds of suffering, the Buddha said. It must be completely removed. It must be completely eliminated. Where there's no attachment, there's no suffering at all. When you are attached to your house, you have suffering about your house. You may think about it. You may feel worried about it. If the house is broken and the property is stolen by someone, then you are unhappy with it. Why? Because you are attached to your house and to your property. That suffering, that is a satisfaction or unsatisfactoriness, comes from the attachment to your house and to your property. So the attachment is the cause of suffering. When you are attached to your sons, if the son meets any accident, then you are worried about your son. Why? Because you are attached to your son. That suffering, that dissatisfaction, that sorrow, worry, comes from the attachment. So attachment is the cause of suffering, the Buddha said. If one does not want to have suffering, he must destroy its cause, that's it, the attachment. When the attachment has been completely removed, then he is free from all kinds of suffering and live in peace and happiness. Then, is there any ways and means to get to completely remove this attachment, to eliminate this attachment? That's there's a ways and means. The way of abandoning this attachment, the cause of suffering, is the way of a right understanding of dukkha, both mental and physical phenomena. If you are able to rightly understand the three kinds of suffering, which is nama and rupa, dukkha dukkha, viparinama dukkha, and sankhara dukkha. If you thoroughly realize these dukkhas, which nama and rupa, mental and physical phenomena, gives you, then you are not attached to any living beings or non-living things. Because any living being is composed of both body and mind, mental and physical phenomena. So if you thoroughly realize these three types of dukkhas, especially sankhara dukkha of mental and physical phenomena, you won't be attached to any living beings or non-living things. Then your attachment has been destroyed. You became detached from any living beings or non-living things. Then there's no attachment, so there's no suffering at all. You have got rid of suffering. So, to completely eliminate the attachment, you must rightly understand your self or your bodily and mental phenomena as they really are. To realize this bodily and mental phenomena, you have to cultivate the four factors of the path which leads you to the cessation of suffering. You must develop the four noble eightfold path. The noble eightfold path consists in eight factors, as you know. Those are Samma Deity, right view; Samma Sankappa, right thought or right thinking; Samma Vaccha, right speech; Samma Kammanta, right deed; Samma Ajiva, right livelihood; Samma Vayama, right effort; Samma Sati, right mindfulness; Samma Samadhi, right concentration. When you are mindful of any mental phenomenon or physical phenomenon, as they really are, that mindfulness consists in these eight factors, or that mindfulness includes all of these eight factors of the path. That's why you, who is a mindfulness meditator, able to thoroughly realize mental and physical phenomena as a suffering, sankhara dukkha. So you are able to remove that attachment which is attached to this both phenomena, dukkha. When that attachment has been destroyed, removed, there's no suffering at all. Then you have attained the cessation of the suffering. Or you experience the cessation of the suffering. Or you experience the peace and happiness. This is the Dhamma that is to be experienced. To experience this Dhamma, the cessation of suffering, Nibbana, you have to develop this Four Noble, Eightfold Path by means of a mindfulness meditation. Whatever mindfulness you cultivate on your body and mind is composed of these eight factors of the path. So when you are able to fully cultivate these the eight factors of the path on Noble Eightfold Path, you are sure to realize, fully, thoroughly realize dukkha, suffering, mental and physical phenomena. Then you'll be able completely eliminate the attachment to it, attachment to them. When the attachment is completely removed, there won't arise any suffering at all. Then you have experienced the cessation of suffering, Nibbana. That's why you have to practice a mindfulness and meditation which makes you endowed with all the eight factors of the path. Right view, right thought, right speech, right deed, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. For example, when you observe the lifting, pushing, dropping, touching, pressing of the foot while walking, you have to put strenuous effort in your observation or in your noting or in your mindfulness. Because of that mental effort, you are able to be mindful of the lifting movements, pushing movements, dropping movements, touching and pressure precisely and closely. That mental effort is called right effort because it leads you to the elimination of attachment or the thoroughly realization of suffering and elimination of attachment and experience of Nibbana. So this effort is right. So this is a right effort. Because of that mental effort which you put in your noting, your mindfulness, you are able to be mindful of the movement of lifting, pushing, dropping, and so on. That mindfulness is a right because it leads you to thoroughly realization of suffering, elimination of attachment, and experience of the cessation of suffering. Right mindfulness must be keen, sharp, and powerful. To make it powerful, or continuous and constant, you need strenuous effort to put in the noting or the practice. When mindfulness becomes constant and continuous, the mind is concentrated, becomes concentrated on each movement of lifting, pushing, dropping, and on the sensation of touching and pressure. To some extent, then that concentration is right because it leads you to the realization of suffering, nama rupa, elimination of attachment, and the experience of the cessation of suffering, nibbana. So it's called a right concentration. But you put enough effort in the noting, the mind doesn't stay naturally with the movement of the foot all the time. Sometimes it tends to go out. Sometimes it wanders. Sometimes it thinks about something else. Other times it's a plans or imagines and so on. Then a mental factor that arises together with that mindfulness directs the mind to the object of meditation, that is the movement of the foot in this case. Because of that mental factor, the mind becomes concentrated on the object movement of the foot again. In this way, the mind becomes more and more concentrated on each individual movement of the foot together with the sensation. Then that mental factor which directs the mind to the object of meditation is called Samma Sankappa, right thought. It doesn't think about anything else. The scripture said, Aramana Bi Niropana Lakhano Samma Sankappo. I think you understand the meaning of this word? Do you understand? Aramana Bi Niropana Lakhano Samma Sankappo. How? You understand? Eh? No, why? Why not? Eh? Yes, it's a Pali. You haven't learned Pali. What you know is English here. Yes. Aramana Binirobana Lakhna Samma Sankappo. It means right thought has the characteristic of directing the mind to the object. That's the meaning. The characteristic of directing the mind to the object is the specific characteristic of the right thought, Samma Sankappa. So when you consider the thinking mind, you may be able to rightly understand this directing the mind to the object of meditation. When you think about any object or subject, your mind has to perceive the object or the subject repeatedly. To keep the mind to the object repeatedly, there's a mental factor to direct the mind to the object. So in this case of Vipassana meditation too, when the mind goes out or tends to go out, that mental factor keeps the mind to the object, directs the mind to the object. In this way, the mind is concentrated on the object or the movement of the foot in this case. So this mental factor which keeps the mind or directs the mind to the object is called right thought, sammasankappa. In this way, the note mind with the power of these four factors of the path, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration, right thought, it becomes more and more concentrated on each movement, individual movement of the foot. Then there arises an insight that realizes this movement as just a natural process of a movement, without being conscious of any form of the leg or the foot, or without being conscious of self or soul, person or being. It's a mere natural process of movement. Sometimes it realizes a natural process of disconnected movement, tiny movements arising and passing away one after another. So that insight knowledge is called right view, because it rightly understands the natural process of movement as just a natural process of a phenomena. And also, it realizes disconnected movement as rising and passing away, sankhara dukkha. So that inside knowledge is called right view, sammadhiti. When this is sammadhiti, right view, arises in upper stage, higher stages of inside knowledge is true, then it more and more penetrates and more and more experience the rising and passing away, impermanence and so on. This is the right understanding. So this mindfulness consists in the five mental factor. When they functions, they do their functions, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration, right thought, and the right view or right understanding. But while you are concentrating on the movement of the foot, the object of meditation, you are refraining from wrong speech, bad speech, evil speech. You are refraining from bad deed, evil deed. You are refraining from wrong livelihood. When you refrain from bad speech, evil speech, it's called samavacha, right speech. When you refrain from bad deed or bad action, it's called samakamanda, right deed or right action. When you refrain from wrong livelihood or bad livelihood, it's called sama ajiva, right livelihood. Refraining from all these speech, deed, and livelihood, you are endowed with these three factors of sila. We call it a moral conduct. Samavacha, samajiva, samakamanda. Samavacha, samakamanda, samajiva. Right speech, right deed, right action. Then altogether, while you are being mindful of each individual movement of the food, you are cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. Right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration, right thought, right understanding or right view, right speech, right deed, right mind, right livelihood. These Noble Eightfold Path, which are included in your mindfulness of bodily and mental phenomena, lead you to realize the suffering and its true nature. So, removes the attachment completely, then to experience cessation of suffering, Nibbana. So, in this way, these four noble Eightfold Path, which is called the truth of the way, leading to the cessation of suffering, Maggasaccha, leads you to the cessation of suffering. In this way, this technique of mindfulness meditation is based on these four types of Dhamma. The Dhamma which is to be thoroughly realized, that is mental and physical phenomena, dukkha. Then the Dhamma that is to be removed, completely removed, that is attachment, tanha. We call it a samudaya saccha. And the Dhamma that is to be experienced, that's the cessation of suffering, Nibbana. We call it Nirodha Saccha, the truth of the cessation of suffering. And the Dhamma that is to be fully cultivated and developed. That's the Noble Eightfold Path, which leads you to the cessation of suffering. Bhavitabha, Magga Saccha, the truth of the way, leading to the cessation of suffering. So, if you strenuously strive your mindfulness and meditation, you are always endowed with these Noble Eightfold Path and lead you to the cessation of suffering, having completely eliminated the attachment, the cause of suffering, and experiencing the cessation of suffering, developing or cultivating the Four Noble Truths, cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. So, rightly understanding this technique of mindfulness, which can give you the emancipation, deliverance from all kinds of suffering, strive your best and get rid of all kinds of suffering. May all of you rightly understand this technique and put forth enough effort in your practice. am free from all kinds of suffering.